Father, thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for your plan for our lives, for our church. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives today as we sit here in the next 30 minutes and we hear from your word speak to us. Holy Spirit, I need a big favor today. I ask of you to speak to people's hearts. And may this word not just be another sermon that we rate, maybe scale 1 to 10, it was a 7. But Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would, may these words from Scripture become reality to us. Word of God, speak to us today as we look at the life of Matthew. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, like I said, it's great to have you here this morning. We're going to look at Luke chapter 5. So if you want to begin to look to Luke chapter 5. By the way, that's where we spent last week. And what we see in this chapter is we see Jesus. He's probably about 30 years old. And what he's doing is he's preparing. Excuse me. He's preparing for his public ministry. And one of the very first things he does in preparation for his public ministry is he goes out and he begins to prepare a team. A team. I love this. Jesus isn't going to do ministry alone. He's going to do it with a team. And we know those teammates are called what? Disciples. Disciples. These would be the men who would follow his teachings. And they would basically be the men that would carry the torch after he ascended back to the Father after his, what, death and resurrection. So Jesus had this three-year window. He would die on the cross. He would raise again. 40 days later, he would ascend to be with the Father where he is today at the right hand of the Father. By the way, how many people know what Jesus is doing at the right hand of God the Father? He's praying for us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And he's praying for us. And what they did is these would be the guys that would carry the torch after Jesus would be in heaven, okay? So with the time we had last week, what we did is we looked at the first 11 verses of Luke 5, and we discovered that Jesus went out and looked for the first three teammates on his team, his disciples, and he found three fishermen. Their names were Simon, whose name is also Peter. And then there were two brothers who were names were James and John. The Bible calls these three men. Does anybody know what the Bible refers to these three men as? Anyone? The Sons of Thunder. Oh, I would love to have that name. Sons of Thunder. Randy, Greg, and Mike. Sons of Thunder. Wouldn't that be cool? We're going to go change the world. Thunder, not the sons of whatever. Let's move on. But anyway, what I want to do today is I want to jump down to verse 27. So if you have your Bible, please open it, Luke 5, 27. One thing we need to know to set the table for this morning, after Jesus calls Peter, James, and John the sons of thunder, he goes on to nearby villages and he continues to minister. And if you know anything about the ministry of Jesus, it's a lot of great teaching and there's also a lot of miracles. How many people are into miracles? Signs and wonders. Amen? And you can see that if you look in your Bible, in verses 12 through 16, we're told that there was a man in the advanced stages of leprosy. And Jesus came and he healed that man of his leprosy. They say leprosy was a lot like AIDS today. I mean, it was a life sentence. And Jesus comes along and touches him and he's healed. Then if you go to verses 17 through 26, Jesus heals a man that was paralyzed. This man was paralyzed. Jesus touches him, and the man is healed. Okay? So what I want you to see is that powerful things are happening in the ministry of Christ. Okay? And people are amazed with what they're seeing because they've never, ever seen anything quite like this before. They've heard people make proclamations of who they are, but Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And he's performing signs and wonders and miracles. There's a buzz in the air. There's excitement. The town is fired up. People are just coming to Christ in groves and groves. They want to be near him. They just want to touch him. Maybe if I just touch Jesus, I can be healed. So that's what's going on as we enter into our text this morning. So if everybody's in verse 27, Luke 5, say, I'm there. Okay, let's read it together then. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? What's he referring to there? He's referring to tax collectors as scum. Remember that. Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but I've come to those who know they are sinners and they need to repent. Okay? Wow. So in these verses, we're introduced to a man named Levi. His last name was Strauss. Some of you are like, who's Levi Strauss? Well, you'll figure it out later, okay? Levi. By the way, Levi was his Jewish name, but the name that we know him by would be his Roman name, and that would be what? Matthew. And that's where we get the Gospel of Matthew. That's the Roman name. And we're told that this character, Levi, Matthew, was a tax collector. So what he would do is he would go along and he would collect taxes from all the citizens. Somebody you really like to see, all right? And not only the citizens, he would collect taxes through all the merchants that would be selling and passing through town. Matthew would go and collect the taxes from their proceeds. And history tells us that most of the Jews, if not all of the Jews, they hated tax collectors. They were despised. They hated them. And there were three reasons why they hated tax collectors. They're on the screen above me. Number one is because tax collectors had a reputation for being cheaters. Does anybody like a cheater? Well, people didn't like tax collectors either, because what would happen is these tax collectors would take a commission on the taxes that they collected. So what would happen is most of them would overcharge the people and they would keep the profits. So the government would say, go collect $100 from Heather and you can keep 20. So what the tax collectors would do is they would charge Heather 140. Instead of making 20, they would make what? $60. So they were big cheats. People didn't like them at all, and they could get away with them because they had the name Roman government behind them as authority. The second reason why they were hated by Jewish people is because they supported the Roman government. Here they are working for the Roman government, and this was this despised Roman government because the Roman government was making it very, very difficult for Jewish people. They were always putting pressure. There was opposition. It was a hated relationship, okay? Third reason is why the Jews hated tax collectors is because their constant contact with what is called unclean Gentiles. See, Jews believe that they were God's chosen people, and they are. And they were, and they are today. But they would see everybody else as unclean. They would see everybody else as dirty. They were the elitist, and everybody else was below them. And here these tax collectors were communicating with the unclean people. So what we see in our text this morning, and please don't miss this, is we see a man that Jesus chooses to be on his team, who would carry the torch after he leaves. We see a man that Jesus calls to be his disciple that a majority of society would say, boo, not good, a bum, okay? They wouldn't look at him with favor. They would look upon him like, oh, Jesus, how could you choose this guy to be on your team? And many scholars would believe that even Levi himself would have been shocked he would have been surprised that, Jesus, you chose me. Because in that day, there were many teachers, there were many rabbis that would collect a group of disciples. And what they would do is they would go out and they would look for the best of the best. They would look for the blue bloods. They would look for the cream of the crop. Those are the people that will be my disciple because they'll give me a good name. But Jesus totally turns the table. Instead of going out and looking for the blue bloods and the best of the best, he goes to the no names. He goes to the people like me, like many of us. He goes to those people that not many people would say, wow, you chose him? No, Jesus is totally different. His kingdom is upside down, and he chooses normal, everyday people, actually despised people. And that's the people that Jesus chose, and many people were shocked and surprised, okay? But here's the thing that blows me away more than anything, and this is where we're going to go a little deeper. Is everybody ready to say, yep? Okay. Jesus comes to this guy that nobody likes, despised, scum. And Jesus walks by him. He's sitting at his tax collector booth. And Jesus says these three words, come, follow me. Wow. Come, follow me. And the thing that blows me away more than anything as I read this text this week, look at these words in verse 28. They're on the screen. This is the response of Levi. Everybody read these three words together. He left everything. Put a little emphasis on everything the next time we read it. He left everything. Think about that. He left everything. Think about what Levi left. I want you to get this. Please don't go by this too quickly. He left everything. What did he leave? Anybody just think? Don't say it out loud. Think about it. What did he leave? Well, he left a lucrative, dishonest tax-collecting business to follow Jesus. He left behind a lifetime of potential, not just good wealth, but great wealth. I mean, if it were today, he left behind a 401k. He left behind all the stock options. He left behind the health insurance. He left everything. That's a really powerful statement. He left everything to do what? To follow Jesus. Okay? Because here's the thing. All those other disciples, they could go back. If it didn't work out with Jesus, they could go back to fishing. But for Matthew, he would never be able to reestablish himself in that career, that occupation. He would never be able to be a tax collector again. He left everything. He said, I'm cutting myself off from all the wealth. I'm going to leave everything behind. Which leads me to this question. I love asking questions when you read the Bible. And the question that I've been asking myself all week is this. Why was Levi willing to leave everything? Don't speak out loud, please. Just think. I want you to come up with some conclusions, ideas in your mind. Why do you think Levi was willing to leave everything? I thought about that in my office this week. I thought about it as I was out and about. Why would he do this? Why was he willing to do this? Okay? Before I answer that question, I want to ask another question. And that is this. Why do people generally, there we go, why do people like you and I generally leave one thing for another thing? Just think out. I want you to think today. Why do people generally leave A for B? I mean, think about it. Why do people who have, maybe you've had a beautician, a barber for all these years, and now you say, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to somebody else. Okay? Maybe you go to the same stores and shop for years. You've gone to this store for 40 years, and all of a sudden you say, well, I'm going to change and I'm going to go, now I'm going to go here. I mean, why do people leave job A to go to job B. I mean, why do people, this has been my mechanic for years. Now I'm going to go to a new mechanic. I want you to think this morning, or maybe it's a restaurant. Oh, that was my favorite restaurant. Now I'm not going there anymore. I'm going to this restaurant. People do this with churches all the time. They will leave church A to do what? To go to church B. We see this in colleges and university and schools and education. People will leave A to go to B. Okay? Why do people leave one thing for another? Think about it. I think the reason why they leave one thing for another is because they think the other is going to be what? Everybody say, you got it. Say it again. Better. If they didn't think it was better, they wouldn't take the time that it takes, invest the time that it takes to make the change. But people often leave one thing for another because they feel like this thing is going to be better than all the previous things before. Okay? And here's the thing. Hindsight is what? 2020. So sometimes we leave one thing for another and we look back and we say, oh, have you ever done that? Oh, maybe that, oh. Does anybody know what that was? Oh, that maybe that wasn't a good call. Raise your hand if you've been there before. Rest of you, man, you are wise people. But sometimes you look back, and many of us have been on this end of the spectrum, you say, wow, thank God I was willing to make the change. Have you been there before? You left one thing for another thinking it was going to be better, and it was better, and it was better than you ever imagined. So keep that in mind. Keep that in the corner of your mind. People leave one thing for another because it's better. They believe it's going to be better. Now here's the original question. Why was Levi willing to leave everything for Jesus? Why was he willing to say, a lot of money, security, everything, but Jesus? I believe Jesus is, Matthew's saying, I believe Jesus is going to be better than everything else. Isn't that powerful? He's saying, I believe that he will be better than everything else. He was convinced. He was convinced of that. Now the question becomes, why was Matthew so convinced of that? Why was he convinced that, Jesus, you're better than everything else in my life. I will follow you. I'll leave everything. Jesus, I'll go. Why was he convinced of that? Was it because he was a part of the crowds and heard the great teachings of Jesus? The Bible says he taught as one with authority and power, and people were amazed. Life changes occurred. Was it because he saw the miracles? The man with leprosy is now healed. The man who was paralyzed is now healed. Was that what convinced him to say, you know, yeah, Jesus is better? How many people know that surely wouldn't hurt? It surely wouldn't hurt to see those things, to hear those things. But I think there's something so much bigger here, and I don't want you to miss it. And that is that I believe that Levi was willing to leave everything for Jesus because in Jesus Christ, that day, he experienced a level of love, value, acceptance that he had never experienced before. I mean, think about it. The day before Jesus came, what was Levi's life full of? Hurt, hatred, rejection, emptiness. The crowds, the people, scholars believed even his family would refer to him as scum. Nobody wanted to be around this guy. He was an outcast. Now Jesus steps into his life and he says, hey, Matthew, come and follow me. And listen, Matthew, you don't have to get everything cleaned up before you come. Matthew, I accept you just the way you are. By the way, how many people are thankful that Jesus accepts us just the way we are? Anyone? Amen. Just the way he was. And that's what I believe is he's convinced because he experienced love, acceptance, forgiveness, value. All the things that psychologists today say people are looking for, Jesus provided for Matthew in a way that Matthew never experienced that before. And now there's a part of the story that I've never noticed until the last month or so because I was doing some reading. And I want to look at the rest of the story. So here's where we're at. He'll leave everything. He believes Jesus is better. He's convinced Jesus is better because Jesus loves him, accepts him. By the way, all those things are true for you and I today. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He accepts you. He places value and significance on every single one of us today. Amen? But look at what he does next. Let's go to verse 29. I put it on the screen one more time. Later. Everybody say later. Let me take a drink. Later. Levi held a banquet. This guy had money. He could throw a party. He had more money than probably all of us combined together. So what did he do? He held a banquet in his home. So he had a home. And guess who the guest of honor was? Jesus. It's a, Jesus, you got to come over my house later. We're not told when. Days, weeks. I think it's probably the next night. Don't miss this part. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. So catch this. After Levi leaves everything to follow Jesus, he has the party of all parties. It's almost like he's going to use the rest of his resources up before he says, Jesus, we're going to hit the road tomorrow morning. Tonight we're going to have a party. So he says, you're going to be the guest of honor. And take a look at who Levi invites to the party. Who does he invite? His homies. His friends. The guys he's been what? Living with. Hanging out with. These are come to the party, you guys. Think about it. How many people have ever seen a really good movie? Just shout out your favorite movie all time. Okay, Star Wars. I heard that one. I knew that was coming. On Golden Pond. Woo. I don't see movies. I'm an Assembly of God minister. Hallelujah. Nor do I play cards. Wink, wink. Not for money, but just family. Okay, anyway. What were we talking about? A movie. How many people have seen a movie that was so good that one of the first things you did when you got home is you did what? You told people. Recently, there was that movie up in Hudson, and it was something like, do you believe or do you still believe, whatever it was. I know when I got home, I had to call mom and dad. Dad, did you see that movie? It was awesome. It talked about all these people coming to Jesus. It was, they did an awesome. How many people have ever done that before? You've told people about it. How many people have a favorite restaurant? Just tell me your favorite restaurant real quick. Favorite restaurant. Okay, cool. Here's what's cool. When you go to a good restaurant and you love the food and the price is reasonable, what do you want to do? I want to tell people, man, dudes, listen, everybody, you got to go to Mariachi Loco. It's authentic Mexican food and it's cheap. And you can get your fill, okay? What happens when you encounter something that's exciting and life-changing? You want to do what? You want to tell other people. Back to our story. Something so exciting happened in whose life? Levi's life. So what do you think he wanted to do? Think about it. What do you think he wanted to do? Dudes! Homies, whatever. You guys, is that a bad... I hope that's not a bad word. I shouldn't use a word I don't know the meanings. Guys. Buddies, friends. You got to come over my house tonight. And you got to see this guy. This guy loved me when nobody else loved me. This guy accepted me for the way I am when nobody else did. This guy thought I was special enough to be on his team. Can you believe that? And I think Levi saying, everybody come on over. This is why I want you to come over, because I want you to see the one that can change your life too. I want you to see the one who loves you for who you are and loves you just as you are. I want you to see this Jesus. I want you to encounter what I have encountered in my life. Guys, come on over tonight. He's going to be the guest of honor. We're going to just be at his feet. It's going to be about him. And I want everyone to meet Jesus. Somebody just say cool. Cool. Listen. So all week I've been preparing for this message. Actually, this was a message I was going to preach a couple weeks ago, never got around to it. So I've been kind of digesting this message for about 3 weeks. And I don't like the name hypocrite. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. So as I'm preparing this message, I'm sitting at my desk. And all week or weeks, I'm asking myself this question. Mike, are you convinced that Jesus is better than everything else this world has to offer? Can somebody give me a Holy Ghost? Woo! So I'm sitting at my desk thinking, Mike, are you really convinced that Jesus is better? He's better than any success. He's better than any level of comfort. He's better than anything. Do you really believe that? To the point that you want everybody else to know. And I think I'm getting there, especially as I get older. And I do believe this, Jesus is better than anything else that this world has to offer. He's better. And I sit here today, maybe wanting to convince you, even more important, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to all of us, including myself. And I want us all to know, me involved here, that whatever you're going through, whatever you're pursuing, whatever the dream may be, whatever it is in your life, I'm here today to declare something that Matthew figured out 2,000 years ago. And that is that Jesus Christ is, everybody say it, better. He's better than my dreams. He's better than my ambitions. He's better than the things I desire. And those are good things. But I'm talking, there's got to be one thing in life that's at the center. And I declare today, Lord Jesus, in public, that you are better. And Lord, I'll be willing to do what? Follow you. I'll be willing to be what? One of your disciples. Because Lord, I'm convinced after 51 years of living on this planet, there's a lot of great things. There's a lot of fun things. There's a lot of joys. Family is awesome. A wife that's awesome. Kids that I love. I mean, there's just a lot of things that have filled life with goodness, but there's one that's the best. Woo! There's one that's the best, who never leaves us, who never forsakes us, who never disappoints us, who never lets us down. He died for our sins because we're sinners in need of a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And my whole thought for today is, Lord, would you please speak to the people in our congregation? Speak to me and show us, Lord, just how amazing you really are, so that we'll be willing to leave everything to follow after you. Amen? Is everybody cool? This is a process, I believe. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to help you to see how amazing Jesus really is. You don't come upon this on your own. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that allows you to see the beauty in the treasure of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for our time together, and I thank you for real Bible stories with real people that had real decisions and choices to make. And Lord, it's just not blue bloods. It's imperfect people. It's broken people. It's people who are struggling through life in a broken world. And Jesus, you came and you showed yourself to one of these people, Matthew, Levi. And he left everything to follow the one and only one worth following. So I just ask right now, in the quietness of a Sunday morning, our lives are filled with a lot of things. Events, activities, work, sports, music. I mean, the list is endless. But Lord, I pray by your power, by the work of your Spirit, that you would bring every one of us to that point where we would say, you know what, those things are good. Those things could even be blessings of the Lord. But Jesus, you're better. You're better than everything and anything. And Jesus, as a result, will get up and we'll follow you on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because you're the best. So, Lord, speak to our hearts long after we leave this place today. I pray as we lay in bed this week, as we drive our cars and we're alone and we have time to think, I just pray that these words from this passage would come alive to us, and then all of us would put on our thinker this week and would really begin to think through Scripture and begin to think, am I willing? What is the best thing in my life? And I just pray that you would be with us and reveal your beauty to us, I pray, in Jesus' name.